1-0 test series lead to defend or a 1-0 test series deficit to turn around? It depends which side you're on. As we left you at the end of the first test match, here we are back welcoming you to this new episode of Hotspot Delhi, looking ahead to the second test match between India and England, which will also be played in Chennai. But things have changed. The situation has changed. A, England have made a few changes. India are expected to make a few changes. The pitch has changed. It's supposed to be a bit more spin-friendly from the go. And for the first time in almost a year, there will be crowd seen at a sporting event. Remember, the Indian team has already played in front of crowds in Australia, but for England, after a long home summer and traveling to South Africa and Sri Lanka, it will be the first time in the post-COVID era that they will be playing in front of fans. Hello and welcome to Hotspot Daily. As always, I'm Chetan Narula, and with me, my friend from London, Daniel Norcross. Daniel, hope you're well. Tell me, what are your first thoughts about crowd factor? The crowds coming back, around 15,000 people expected to be back at the Chepauk.
Well, I think it's going to help India, and quite right too. I mean, we talked about it the other day about how home advantage is a little bit negated by not having crowds in. We've seen it in Sri Lanka. We saw it actually in England as well when West Indies and Pakistan played really well. I spoke to Shaun Masood about the lack of crowds after he got 100, and he said that it helped him. And it was helping the Pakistan side. So I think this will be good for India. I think it's good for cricket as well. I mean, we've got a really great series bubbling up. And to have some atmosphere come back to the grounds, you can argue about whether it's prudent or wise. That's not for me to say, because I really don't know the situation in India with regards to COVID. But I think from a neutral point of view, not knowing from sitting, looking on tomorrow, as I will be doing for the BBC, it'll just be lovely to have that kind of buzz and the hum of an Indian crowd again.
It's a novelty in a bit of a way, like I said, in the post-COVID world, because we saw the crowds back in Australia, and it was really enticing. We've seen crowds back at some of the football games, whether it's the German League or the Italian League, or there were a few matches in the English Premier League as well, though the crowds were back. It's different. It feels different. I mean, people seated away from each other. But at the same time, again, you have to question how prudent is this move. As you mentioned, first of all, what's the COVID situation? I mean, obviously, our listeners in India would know that the number of cases have significantly gone down in some parts of the country. No deaths have been reported for the last couple of weeks. In Delhi, the number of cases has gone really down. It's the same situation in most parts. Almost 90% of the country is the same situation. The number of cases have gone down. India have already distributed 7 million vaccine doses. So that's one of the quickest vaccine programs in the world at the moment. Well, there will be strict protocols in position at the Chennai test. Fans coming in will be checked for temperatures, and we have a domestic app which shows the status, health status. They'll be checked. They'll be seated at a distance from each other. That's all well and good, but I personally feel maybe they could have waited, the BCCI could have waited until the white ball leg of this tour with the ODIs and the T20 series to sample the crowds or to bring them back to the game, because the teams are in a really strict bio bubble at the moment. The BCCI does have an eye on the T20 World Cup later in the year, and of course the IPL as well. So this experimentation goes a long way for that. But again, just my personal opinion, it's a little too early. Maybe, just maybe, I could be wrong. Just a little too early, in my personal opinion, to bring the crowds back. Of course, the local media will be back in the press boxes as well. We were invited, but there's a very short turnaround to go there. So not making the trip this time around. I'm still undecided if I'm going for the rest of the two test matches either. But yeah, the media and the fans are back. And obviously, they will have quite a bit to talk about, or quite a bit to sample, as do we in this episode. Daniel, first up, England. Almost four changes, three changes definitely, but there could be a fourth as well. James Anderson out, Dom Best out. It's a 12-man squad. Butler, it's a 12-man squad that they've announced. Yeah, Butler out, and of course they've brought in Moeen Ali and Stuart Broad, Ollie Stone, and Chris Wokes, with Jofra Archer ruled out with an injury, at least from the second test.
Yes, I mean, there are two enforced changes because Archer has got that slight niggle, we've been told.
Yeah.
It's not a recurrence of his stress fracture. So he has to go. and Butler was always scheduled to go. So those are the two that are sort of enforced. The ones that are not enforced, it looks like Moeen Ali will play instead of Dom Best, which is a heck of a call for a guy who's taken so many wickets this winter. But, you know, they've not been wrong too often. So we saw on that last day in the first test that he bowled, I think, 19 full tosses in the whole game, three of them at the start of an over, which maybe there was a little concern they want to take him out of the firing line. So Moeen Ali is almost certain to play, unless there's a change in the balance of the side. And then Broad coming in for Anderson, that was always kind of scheduled. The way England have decided to play this winter is really to divide the tests up one on, one off with Broad and Anderson. And I think there's a sense to that because we've talked about the kind of the makeup of the side they want, which is a fast bowler, which has been Mark Wood in Sri Lanka. Jofra Archer was the intended fast bowler for this series, but he's got his injury. And so Ollie Stone would come in for him. Then the two spinners, in this case, Leach and Moeen Ali, and then one of Broad and Anderson. And I think there's a sense to this that the two of them do a similar kind of job. I mean, they're actually very different bowlers. I think for England, losing Anderson for Broad is not really going to be an issue. In many ways, Broad looked like he might have been the more effective bowler on that pitch, comes in quite tall, like Ishant, and spears the ball in, aiming at the stumps. Anderson bowled very well in that test match, but really, we're talking about one spectacular over that he bowled. He didn't bowl badly around the other parts of it, but his main impact came in quite a small moment, if you like. So I think for England, there's not really, there won't be any dramas about that. But it is unusual, isn't it? Because you win a match in a high-profile series where you're not expected to win and you make four changes, that is, that's quite the bold move. And, you know, we'll see. I think England are blessed by having a squad which is not just good, but has got a lot of like-for-like replacements. We do know they've got a very settled top six. That'll stay exactly the same, I would imagine. The only change to that might be, and just look out for it, if Dan Lawrence drops out, Ollie Pope goes up to three and Chris Wokes comes in, because Wokes is a very reliable batsman. He featured in a hugely important partnership with Jos Buttler to defeat Pakistan at Old Trafford in the summer, and they rate his batting. And Dan Lawrence is a young and inexperienced batsman. So that is a possibility, but I don't think it'll happen. I think I'm more interested by the changes that India will make, because those aren't enforced. They're going to be saying something about, well, you know, did we get it wrong? And there, I mean, I hand over to you, but I'd love to see Kuldeep. I don't suppose we will. I quite like to see Hardik Pandya, but the danger then is, with a crowd in, what's the over rate going to be like? Was they have to keep on sanitizing the ball as it comes back from the crowd?
Well, just before I go on to the Indian team selection, just one point that I would like to discuss in terms of James Anderson, Stuart Broad. I think it's understandable that Anderson is not playing. My question would be, if there was no pink ball test match, the third test was not a pink ball test, would then Anderson play? I think that has been a major factor in deciding this, because otherwise, it would be Anderson playing four consecutive test matches. And yes, he's a supreme athlete. He's really fit. But playing in Sri Lanka and India on the bounce at his age, it's excruciating for the body. It's test cricket is tough. Test cricket is bloody tough.
Well, I think it is, Chetan, for all players. I mean, you see how India struggled in Australia to maintain their fitness and had a lot of people coming in.
Absolutely.
The
and yeah, and these
Australia
are and these
did
are,
as well, because they chose to play all their players. And the result was that those bowlers actually looked a bit exhausted by the end of it.
Absolutely. So I think the freshness factor for the pink ball test, because England see, okay, even if they lose this match, they still stand a good chance to win the series, or at least draw the series, or whatever the potential outcome might be. Also, maybe they've had a look at the pitch and say, okay, maybe we don't need Anderson on this pitch. Maybe with Stuart Broad coming in and one of Chris Wokes, he can shore up the batting, as you mentioned a bit. You know, that would be enough. And when we say the pitch, it's expected to take turn, which is very interesting. I think in India are falling into the English trap here, because a flatter pitch would, yes, even up things. But if it had been a 1-0 in India's favor, it would have been a flatter pitch, almost the same. But because it is not, they're going for turn, and they're going that maybe if they lose the toss again, it would bring Ashwin and the second spinner early into play and maybe make an impact and restrict England. That is the thing. But at the same time, it's applicable at the other end as well, because India, as we have seen, they're a bit finicky against quality off spin. And yes, Jack Leach bowled beautifully as well. So quality left arm spin as well. So it's a 50-50 thing for me, playing a spin friendly pitch from day one. And this Indian batting lineup doesn't exactly inspire too much confidence given their record against spin since 2013-2014, when this batting lineup started coming together. Now, talking about the fact whether India should make any changes, yes, they should, because when you lose by 220-odd runs, obviously you played badly, obviously you made wrong selection calls, and it seems like they will make at least one change. Seems like Akshar Patel is expected to come back into the reckoning ahead of Shahbaz Nadeem, who had a bit of a nightmare outing. The other interesting change for me is probably they're looking to drop in Washington Sundar as well and bring in another element, and that is Hardik Pandya. Because how Rishabh Pant batted and showcased it in that first test match, that you attack the English spinners and you can maybe blunt them for a bit of or a certain passage of time, Hardik Pandya can do that job even better. So even if he doesn't bowl, which he will not a lot, he might just be an attacking batting element lower down the order and smash the English spinners all parts of the ground. So it's going to be an interesting change if he plays. What do you think of that strategy, Dan?
Well, I feel sorry for Washington Sundar, because he's getting dropped because of his bowling. And yet, you know, it's his performance in the first innings was absolutely vital in nearly getting India out of a scrape there. You know, they were in all sorts of bother at 73-4. And then again, when they lost their fifth wicket, and Washington Sundar batted really well, I thought he batted really well in his only other test match as well, that crucial high-profile game. So if he was going to be dropped because of the lack of potency of his off-spin, and they were bringing in a medium-pace all-rounder whose bowling isn't really likely to be used a great deal, you sort of think, where's the logic in that? With these things, we're talking about very good cricketers. So, you know, it's always very marginal. And we can fixate for ages over should they play this person or should they play that person. At the very highest level of cricket, everything just will depend on what happens. You know, Hardik Pandya is an exceptional cricketer. Washington Sundar is an exceptional cricketer. It's how you. It's a bit like the Broad and Anderson debate, you know, play both or one or the other. We're talking very fine margins here. And decisions tend to be made on the efficacy of your choices after the event. Do you know what I mean? So
I know, you know, hindsight, yeah.
Gets a darkened 15, then it'll look like a terrible idea. If he smashes Joe Leach out of the attack with a blistering array of sixes, then it'll look like genius. I think it'll be fun. I mean,
imagine Rishabh Pant and Hardik Pandya batting together.
I'm taking my England hat off. Exactly. I take my England hat off and I just think, you know, I'm a cricket fan. What would I love to see? It's a crowd at the Chepauk and Pant and Pandya batting together. I mean, that would be really exciting. So it's going to be a great spectacle. I think what India have got to do is just play better. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
You know, Rahane needs to score some runs, and they can do. You know, Rohit Sharma needs to score some runs, and they're very good players. And what happened in the first test was that, you know, some of their big batting guns in the first innings didn't fire. 330-odd was not enough, 337 was not enough on that pitch. They needed well over 400 and they didn't get it. On another day, they will. On another day, Rahane will not drive a full toss to a diving Joe Root, you know. Yeah. And poor old Cheteshwar Pujara is not going to smash a long hop onto the shoulder of Ollie Pope. So
he's not going to play that shot throughout the series now.
Yeah. he'll never play it again in his life. He'll never play it again in his life. You know, India are a couple of moments of luck away from fulfilling their potential. And it could start for them. It could do with starting for them with winning the toss. Now, I don't know. I mean, you're probably better placed than me to say if you think that the toss is going to be as vital on this pitch as it was on the last one. I've heard talk that there's a slightly different topsoil on this pitch. I don't know what the effect of that will be. I mean, you're a better aficionado of Indian pitches than me.
You know, just hearing about it from a distance, seeing the odd picture of it, can't really say at the moment. But if I had been at the ground, would have been a better judge of it. But at the same time, toss has become vital in Test cricket in India. Although, if you look at the last tour, the last time England came here, India lost three tosses in that five test series and yet went on to win it 4-0. But those were different pitches. We had an additional element in Ravindra Jadeja, and Ashwin and Jadeja, just indomitable on home conditions. In terms of scoring runs, maybe Indian middle order was in a better place at the moment. And when I say in a better place, because Virat Kohli's just played two matches out of the last 5-6 that India have played. So he's looked good in both. He scored half centuries, but it's been almost 15 months since he scored 100 in any format of the game. Not just test cricket, in any format of the game. It's been a while since he scored 100. It's the longest patch. He hasn't got big runs. And, that is one aspect that is going missing from the Indian fans' radar at the moment, because everybody's so worried about his captaincy. I think we should be more worried about where the runs are going to come from. I mean, Rohit Sharma, Shubman Gill, I find that a worrisome opening pair because they're both identical batsmen, but then so is Mayank Agarwal. He is also an attacking batsman. So I worry a little. I had mentioned that in the last test match as well. I worry a little for the Indian batting because now if you add Pandya further, apart from Pujara, it's all bang, 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 bang. And I'm just trying to imagine what happens when you need to grind it out. So is it just Ashwin and Cheteshwar Pujara who are going to grind it out? So these are tough questions. These are tough questions, which thankfully we are not paid to answer. It's Virat Kohli's job and Joe Root's job. If there is one lasting thing that I would want to talk about is Kuldeep Yadav. And if he doesn't play this test match as well, what happens then? It's very tough to envisage or be in somebody's shoes like that, but it's just not making sense from the outside, watching from the outside. Maybe it makes more sense to people who are going to cover this game. I don't know. But watching from afar, from a distance, sitting here in Delhi when the match is happening in Chennai, it just does not make sense to me. Because sometimes, Daniel, what happens is if we watch a player in the nets, 2 days out before a test match, and you watch him in the nets and you say, okay, he's not releasing the ball as well. He's not hitting the areas that he would want to. Yes, he's bowling against Virat Kohli in the nets. It's always tough whether you're playing against him in the nets or on the field. But you see how Kuldeep Yadav is bowling, whether he's landing the ball well, whether the ball is coming out of his hand well. He's obviously not in any sort of confidence at the moment. Confidence must be shot to hell. So, sitting from afar, it's very, very difficult to judge what are the conditions or what is the situation like or what is his mentality at the moment. I think it's going to be really perplexing. What we can talk about right now as we move towards the end of this preview episode, predictions. What do you think is going to happen in this test match?
I'll tell you that in a minute. I just want to let our listeners know that we're on Zoom. And I watched Chetan throughout all of that. And what was so beautiful was that you were actually bowling like Kuldeep Yadav. You were bowling the left arm unorthodox as you were saying it all. You can't help it.
You can't help it.
My predictions. I expect India to bounce back really hard. I expect them to perform better with the bat than they did in the first game, partly because I don't think England can expect to get quite the same luck. I mean, there was an article about expected wicket-taking deliveries and the number of mistakes India made per wicket, and they were a bit unlucky, actually, in that game. And luck does tend to even itself out. I think the toss will make an enormous difference. And I think because England have got four new players in, and, Ben Foulkes as a keeper hasn't played. He's played one first-class game, I think, since September 2019. I think it's going to be tough for England to produce the same level of performance. So, look, I began this series by predicting a 4-0 Indian win. I got that completely wrong. But there's a large part of me that still thinks that India, over the course of a series, are going to prove to be the stronger side for all sorts of very obvious reasons. So my expectation is that India will bounce back. My expectation is that they will probably win. But I think that England have proved themselves in this first game to be a level of opposition, perhaps higher than a lot of us pundits and perhaps even the Indian team themselves expected. So look, they proved they're in with a chance. But I expect India to come out on top just.
Right, same as my expectation. I think India, and as I mentioned in the last test as well, at the end of the last test, I expect India to come back really, really hard. I was speaking to another English colleague over the last 2-3 days, and he said, you know, India doesn't have any chance of making the World Test Championship now. I was like, no way, they could win 3-1 still. That was perhaps a bit more hopeful from an Indian cricket perspective. But just talking about this test match, let's forget what's going to happen in the next two. Just talking about this test match, I expect India to come back really hard, but it's a matter of cutting out mistakes. I think Joe Root is a very calculative captain. He's a captain who's in form. He's a captain who has a very hot streak right now. And, you know, when captains do have that sort of luck sometimes rubs onto their teams as well. So to counter that, in India will have to cut out the mistakes, take your catches, ask your top order to take some responsibility, don't hide behind the natural game phrase, take some responsibility, stay at the wicket, score some runs, bat around Pujara, and then make sure that your bowlers get those 20 wickets. I think that is the clear-cut task ahead of India. They'll come back hard, but cutting down on the mistakes will be optimal at this point and probably the aspect most to watch out for. It promises to be an exciting at least four days, I'm predicting, or 5 days, hopefully, of intense cricket. It'll be the second test match in Chennai on the bounce. We haven't seen that in quite some time, but that has been the impact of COVID. We have also not seen fans back in the ground. So let's look forward to that spectacle. And obviously, we will be coming to you on all days of action from Chennai. Until then, it's me, Chetan Arula, and Daniel Norcross signing off. Goodbye and take care.
Goodbye.